You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to Hot Texas, the Hot Texas Swing Band.
And there they are right there. We're so delighted to have you with us tonight. This is episode 178. Yeah. And if you're joining us for a first time, welcome. If you've been riding along with us regularly, thank you so much for being with us. And Jim, where are we broadcasting from tonight? Where are we?
Well, I'll tell you, it's October the 26th. It's 1881. And we are in Tombstone, Arizona. We are in front of the Birdcage Theater. Four tall men in black dusters, some carrying long guns, and heading for the OK Corral. Bobby, this doesn't look good.
And here they are on a cover of an old True West I happen to have at hand. Well, yes, that certainly was a memorable night. And we're going to be talking about it this evening with our guest. Jim, who do we have joining us?
Oh, my goodness. We got Henry C. Park, film editor of True West magazine.
Hello, Henry.
Hello.
And who else do we have?
We have the incomparable Peter Schirico. He's going to be talking about his book, Play It Safe, plus lots of other things.
Yeah. Hello, Peter. Welcome.
Good afternoon, evening, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is. And then we have a third guest, Full House
and
tonight.
Manuela Snyder.
Yeah.
All the way from Germany to talk about her new book, Dr. Goodfellow, and other things also.
So, Manuela, welcome. Manuela, where are you joining us from tonight or this morning?
This morning, yeah, it's actually 3 a.m. in the morning, and I'm joining from the German-Swiss border here in the very, very, very south of Germany where the wild ones live.
Yeah, we are so delighted. I think this is maybe the fourth time Manuela's been with us.
I'm so honored.
You know? Oh, we'd love to have you.
It's always so much fun, and today is... it is always fun, but today is a very heartfelt round because, you know, movies is one of my bigger passions, and to be here with Henry and Peter is a great honor for me.
It's really fun. It's fun to see this full house. So, Peter,
yes.
Where are you joining us from this evening or afternoon or wherever you are?
I'm in sunny Southern California. My little town of Agua Dulce, home of Vasquez Rocks.
Yes, indeed. And Mr. Henry, first Thursday of the month, always with us. And Henry, the author of The Greatest Westerns Ever Made and The People Who Made Them, where are you tonight?
I'm still in Brooklyn, in Park Slope, if anyone knows Brooklyn.
I know Brooklyn, but I don't know.
So Jim and I were realizing earlier today that today we are, this broadcast is coast to coast and international.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
Very cool.
So Henry is with us the first Thursday of every month, and we always look forward to his joining us, and he always has an interesting report to deliver, Henry's Western Roundup. Henry, take it away.
Thank you. Okay. Well, now, right off, I want to remind everyone near Southern California that you have 17 days left to see Cowboys, Hollywood and History at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library before it moves to the Mulva Cultural Center in De Pere, Wisconsin. It opens there in June. I wrote a True West article about the exhibit, planning it for the current March-April issue, but the issue was just so packed that it had to be bumped to the May-June issue. So we posted the article ahead of publication at the True West website. You can find it there or go to Henry's Western Roundup, the new post from this week, and click the link. Character actor Matt Clark has died at age 89. And while many may not know his name, they'll know his face. Here he is from Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
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 He had prominent roles in The Cowboys, The Outlaw Josie Wales, The Culpeper Cattle Company, The Great Northfield Minnesota Raid, Jeremiah Johnson, Monty Walsh, The Beguiled, The Grissom Gang, sort of a Western, The Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean. In short, from 1970 to 1973, he was in every Western worth seeing. I interviewed Matt 6 years ago for a True West piece on Monty Walsh, the original Lee Marvin version. But I posted the full interview in the Roundup for the first time. While I was editing, it struck me that everyone I interviewed for that article, Matt and Mitchell Ryan and Bob Hopkins and casting director Lynn Stallmaster, they're all gone now.
All gone.
Yeah. Well, now we're all historians here. And it makes you realize the urgency of what we're doing. We've got two new Westerns coming down the pike. I've only seen the trailers so far, but the trailers look good. I'm adding the trailers to the current Roundup. And interestingly, neither one is an American film. From Australia, we have Wolfram from director and cinematographer Warwick Thornton, who directed and shot a very good, very tough Aussie Western, Sweet Country, as well as directing and shooting several episodes of the excellent Australian contemporary Western police drama, Mystery Road. Wolfram is another word for tungsten, the metal. And the story, set in Australia in the 1930s, is about Aboriginal children who escape from the tungsten mines where they've been forced to work. Now, from Italy, Heads or Tails appears to be an honest-to-gosh spaghetti Western, and I bet it will be a particular interest to Peter Schirraco. At the dawn of the 20th century, Buffalo Bill Cody takes his Wild West to Italy, and the myth of the Western frontier inspires a woman to leave her abusive husband, and to cut a long story short, all hell breaks loose. John C. Riley plays Buffalo Bill, and a supporting role is played by none other than 90-year-old Gianni Garco, star of the Sartana Westerns, like If You Meet Sartana, Pray for Your Death, and Have a Good Funeral, My Friend, Sartana Will Pay. God, imagine trying to get all of that up on a marquee. Friday and Saturday, April 10th and 11th, the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum of Oklahoma City will present their 26 Western Heritage Awards. I just heard about it from Gary Tarpinian, who happens to be the producer of the INSP series Elkhorn, which just happened to be named Best Western TV Series of 2026. I'm going to add a link with the complete list of honorees to the current Roundup. Now, finally, I wanted to say Happy Easter and Happy Passover to all our listeners and viewers. Probably most people don't think Jewish when they think Westerns, but beyond Gene Wilder as the rabbi in The Frisco Kid, Jews have been very important in Western film and television. Kirk Douglas, Paul Newman, Lauren Green, Michael Landon, and David Dortort, who created both Bonanza and The High Chaparral. And the very first movie star, Bronco Billy Anderson, born Maxwell Henry Aronson, who was in The Great Train Robbery, the first movie with the plot, and he would produce and star in 148 silent Bronco Billy Westerns, was Jewish. In the new Roundup, I've got a link to a very good print of a very good 17-minute film of his, Bronco Billy Sentence. And especially if you haven't seen a lot of silent movies, check it out. It's 111 years old. And I think you'll be really struck by the sophistication of it. I don't think there's a single title card in the whole movie. The acting tells the whole story. And you can learn all about this and so much more at Henry's Western Roundup. blogspot.com.
You know, Henry, we were watching that new show Madison last night.
Oh yeah, Madison.
Oh, with, how is it?
We
enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm stuck. It's got me.
I'll have to check that out.
Spot me. Yeah. Well, we're curious, before we move forward, just real quickly, is do you remember Henry and Peter, how and when you first met? Do you have any memories of that? You've known each other a long time, haven't you?
Oh, I sure do. Do you remember, Peter? Yeah, it was.
I believe you came up to the ranch and did an article for me on me.
Right. Where we actually met first was at the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival at Melody Ranch.
At Melody Ranch. Okay.
And
that was like 2009.
Yeah. I introduced myself to you, and you right away said that I needed to see your ranch.
That's right. Come on out here.
That's right.
I know what I'm talking about. Did you know that you didn't mention that Dordoff, he also did Restless Gun?
Wait, I'm sorry. What was that?
David Dordoff, who did Bonanza.
I forgot that. Right.
He also did Restless Gun, which I watch every night. It's on Grit TV. It's on the West Channel.
Right. And wasn't that the TV version of what was the radio show that was based on?
That I don't know.
Oh, that'll come to me as soon as the show's over, probably. The Six Shooter, the Jimmy Stewart series. The Six Shooter became Restless Gun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I didn't know.
Yeah. How interesting. Okay, so same question for Manuela and Peter. How and when did you meet?
I think in person we met at the Wild Bunch Film Festival, Peter, wasn't it?
No, I think it was the Tucson.
The convention, the Western Writers of America conventions. Yeah, we knew each other from Facebook, but that was the first time we met live, and that's now what, 7 years ago.
Yeah,
2019. Yeah, time flies when you are having fun.
Yeah,
you know, in 2009, we had the first Buckaroo Bookshop.
Yeah.
Well, either Henry or
Peter was with us. Oh, yes, Peter was with us, because remember I spelled his name incorrectly, and it was on this huge banner right outside the bookshop, Buckaroo Bookshop, and I was so afraid of telling him that I knew I had to confess it before he would see
it. That was about 9 foot tall.
I switched the Y, and the Y was not in the right place. And Peter was just a gentleman. He just said, it's not a problem. It gets misspelled all the time. And he made that whole weekend so much fun. That was the first one, 2009.
Well, we always have fun whenever we get in front of the fans and the people who love Westerns.
Yeah.
It's so good to be with them and see them and talk to them. And again, Jim, you mentioned about the Earps with their black dusters on. They didn't wear dusters. I hate dusters. They do not belong in Westerns. We just did a Western, and they had the actors, the poor bad guys, wearing dusters into a bar. And the purpose of a duster was to keep the dust off your clothes, so that when they got into town, they took the dusters off, put them on their saddles, and they walked into a bar with clean clothes.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy every time I see a Western.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they listed on our website, you know, from our supplier. They're called dusters. That's what they call them. So that's what we call them.
Well, whatever. Anyway, that's the fun thing about being with Peter, right? Henry and Manuela, he makes sure everything is as it should be. So
yeah, he will let you know if there's anything wrong.
Yes, exactly.
You work it into the conversation.
We are going to take a very short break and hear a message from our sponsor. One of our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. Are you a writer? They are. Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison are standing by to assist you. And Manuela, you know them very well, too. Don't we love them?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Krista and Janelle. Yeah. And here's a special offer you'll hear about, created just for you. And when we come back, first, we'll be hearing a clip of a song. It's just a short part of a song inspired by tonight's guest, Peter Schirico. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
He walked through the door as a man of the state. Actor Peter Schreiker, man of the sage, an author, producer, with stories to write. He entered that dressing room out of the light. But something shifted behind the closed door. The man that we knew, he wasn't there anymore. Clock started spinning, the shadows grew long, and the ghost of a legend started writing his song. Out stepped a figure in buckskin and fringe. The gate to the past unfastened its hinge. With a plane's rifle and cold pistols at hand, William F. Cody walked out to take his stand. There sat his saddle, worn leather and wood. He stood there as the famous frontiersman, smiling where he stood. Not an actor just playing a part in a movie or play, but the soul of the famous scout was resurrected that day. Oh.
Welcome back.
Beautiful.
Right.
We want to thank composer and performer Michael Anderson for really jumping through some hoops to get us that music in time for this evening. And he was okay with me cutting it down. It's a wonderful piece of music, and it has video he has also posted to go along with it. So let me just make sure that I did say thank you to Michael. That was really fun. When you heard it the first time, Peter, what did you think?
I heard it just last week. I was thrilled with it. That was, I did the Buffalo Bill show in Tombstone, Arizona, back in October. And, you know, we were just doing Manuela's movie on Dr. Goodfellow. We started that. And so before we started filming, I was doing the Buffalo Bill show. And
then
Michael was in the audience, and boom, he put that together. So,
yeah, oh my gosh.
I was thrilled by it.
It's a wonderful piece of music. So now we're going to talk with all of our guests. Let's give a little, can you kind of tell our audience a little bit something about both Peter and Manuela?
We have bios here. Peter Schreiker, recognized historian, actor, and author, is best known for his work on Western movies such as Tombstone and television programs like Wild West Tech. He has also served as a consultant for programs such as The Truth About Jesse James for the Discovery Channel and Deadwood on HBO. His passion for the West and motion pictures inspired him to start Caravan West Productions as a means for filmmakers to easily meet the demands of the Western film genre.
And Manuela,
born and raised in Germany, is an award-winning author, filmmaker, songwriter, and publisher. Her fascination with pioneer life, cowboy heroes, and treacherous outlaws has been her lifelong companion. She fuels her deep interest in the American West by traveling to historic sites such as Tombstone, Arizona.
So great to have all three of you with us. You know, Henry, several months ago, you sent me an email and you said, we have to do a show with Peter Schreiker because he has just released a book. And you had it. You'd read it. It had grabbed you. And you knew that we needed to get Peter on. And it only was perfect to have Manuela come along as well. And the book is Prove It Safe, Gun Safety for the Movies. Henry, what was it about this book that captivated you?
Well, it actually was a very personal thing because it went back to when I was going to college, NYU Film School, and I was making a film which was going to use a shotgun. And I was able to legally, you know, through the school, rent a shotgun without any instructions on how to use it, buy shells, bring it to a film set, point it at an actor under the impression that, oh, it's blanks, it can't hurt anyone. And the only reason that there was not a serious injury on that set was because the actor who was supposed to fire the gun in the shot refused to do it if the other actor was in frame. And the actor who was supposed to get shot at says, it's okay, they're blanks. And he fired without the actor there, and the wall 15 feet behind him had powder burns. So when I saw that somebody had finally written a book, and of course Peter, who's somebody who knows his stuff so well, a book explaining what are the common sense rules that have kept people safe on movie sets for about a century, I thought you had to read it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it is. So, Peter, I'm going to hold it up to the camera again. This is Prove It Safe, Gun Safety for the Movies. And I think you might be watching or listening and think, oh, why would I need to read that? If you have anything to do, maybe you make videos, maybe you're working on a project down the road that's going to involve a firearm of some kind. We know a lot of authors and people that are working on videos of their book projects and such. You really need to kind of at least be familiar or know where to go, right, Peter? And what was your inspiration?
Exactly. Things can happen. Accidents can happen. Gun people are very safe. I deal with people all the time, especially in this business. There are people that just don't know them, don't understand them. I have to tell you, when I first started in New York years ago, I didn't know anything about guns. I was a Vietnam vet, but I was in the Air Force. So my tools were a screwdriver and a ohm meter, not an M16. So I didn't know anything. And one of the first shows I did was a film for NYU. It was one of the student films, and they gave me a gun, and I was like, I don't know what to do. And I watched the guy. So I spent the next 2 years learning from every expert that I could find. Bob Munden, I worked with for a year, who's in Guinness Book of World Records as the fastest gun, you know, ever. And another guy who was an Olympic shooter taught me trap shooting. So I learned shotguns and I learned this. And I spent 2 years working constantly with guys that taught me archery, throwing knives, throwing tomahawks. And I realized that if you look at movies or TV shows, 70 to 80% of them have some kind of a weapon in them. And an actor has to know that. Yes, when I first got into New York after college, it was going to voice lessons and dance lessons and learning body movements. But nobody was teaching weapons. And you look at movies, there are weapons all over the place. So I took that on myself to learn as much as I could. And 50 years later, I'm the expert. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't have a knife in my hand or a bow and arrow or a gun. I just always use them, familiarize myself with them. As a matter of fact, we talked on Monday, and last night or the night before, I got a call. I'm armoring a movie starting on Monday for the next 3 weeks because they read the book, and the prop head of the prop department didn't want to have any responsibility for the guns. And they said, hey, so for the rest of April, I'll be doing a movie as an armoring. And you, Henry, you mentioned Elkhorn.
Yes.
With the things. I'm the armorer on Elkhorn Plus, we supply all of the costumes, the guns, the set dressing, the props. All of that is the show.
Wow. Yeah. All of that's for Elkhorn.
3 years.
Now, Jim, I know you have I know you have a question for Peter. You can't wait to ask him.
Yeah, okay, what is it?
Let's talk about this armorer. How does it work? How does this person function on a set, on a movie set?
You don't want to ask about Rust? Okay.
That's what I'm asking.
Okay.
That's close enough. Again, every morning you like to have a safety meeting. And everybody, you know, the first AD, everybody will talk about what's going on. The fire marshal will be there. Anybody else that's a medic that's on set. And then the armorer will always come in and say, hey, we're using guns today. We're using blanks today. And then I have a procedure when we start shooting. The actors don't get guns until I give them to them. They don't, they're not loaded. The thing that happened on Rust, they missed every opportunity to do it right because, again, they say it was a low-budget movie, which was $7 million. To me, that's not low-budget. I do low-budget movies. And they just bypassed everything that they could. If they just did one of the items that you have to do, nothing would have happened. But that was the mistake they make, and that's the mistake that I don't make. When, the first AD came on, handed Baldwin the gun and said, it's a cold gun. He never checked it. They never checked it. What I do is I'll bring in an empty gun and I'm going to give it to the actor. They're going to rehearse. And that's what happened. It was a rehearsal. And I will show everybody, all the cameramen, all the crew, the makeup person, because they're always scared about it, paranoid about it. And I'll show everybody, look, it's an empty gun. Not going to hurt you unless it falls on your foot. Then I give it to the actor. Then if they want to use dummy rounds in it so that a revolver looks like it's loaded, then I will load 6 dummy rounds in the gun in front of everybody, and then I will point it at the ground and fire a 6-shooter 8 times. And it'll go 8 times, go click, 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 and everybody knows that's a dummy round. If they would have done that on Rust, they would have gone click, click, boom. Well, what was that?
Yeah,
shut the whole thing off. But that's what I do. And then when they want to fire a blank, then I'll take one of the dummy rounds out. I'll ask the director, what do you want? You want one blank? You want two? I will load one in. I will set it up for the actor. We were doing a movie where Danny Trejo had to have a gun. He wanted it on the table in front of him. I put it down there. It was loaded. He knew what to do. I've worked with Danny on about 6 or 7 different movies. And he had to shoot at the bartender, which was no longer there. I said, okay, you don't need him. You're shooting him. You don't need, just like you had Henry, you get the actor out of there. You're not seeing him. So don't have him in the shot. And he picked up the gun, kaboom, fired where the bartender was supposed to be. And that was it. Puts it down. Then when they yell cut, I will take the gun. I will unload the blank. I don't put another one in until the director says, hey, let's do that shot again. Then we'll do it again.
So I was just going to say, Manuela's done a number of films now, and I know you have relied, of course, on an armorer. How does that work for you? It's Peter.
I'm lucky enough to act in Manuela's show, and then she wants me to be the armorer. So, we do that. Okay, go ahead, Manuela. I'm sorry.
First of all, I have to say, Peter is my armorer, seamstress, and Dr. Goodfellow. And not only that, he acts in it. He's the armorer. Most of all, he's, for me, a personal mentor. It's a blessing to learn from the best. I deal it in a very responsible way. When I started doing movies, it was with a short movie version music video, kind of hybrid. And they told me right from the start, in Arizona, you have to have an Amaro. And I would never jeopardize somebody's safety, take any risks. And, you know, for me, it's like, as Peter said, like, I really do low budget, but I would always make it a point, if you don't have the budget for an Amaro, wait half a year longer, save some more money up, because the responsibility you have for cast and crew is immense and sometimes really underestimated. It's cool to produce a movie, cool to be in it, you know, but there are also certain things that the entire movie is mm-hmm. built on, like pillars, and some of those pillars are hard work and responsibility, and you have to go by the rules. Imagine if some accident would have happened on one of my sets, you know, for me, it would wreck my entire career. Even more, I would become a criminal in a country where I work with all my passion. I wouldn't be even allowed to ever enter the U.S. again. So there is no question about not using or using an Amaro. The responsibility is too big. Plus, I truly care for my cast and crew. And I want them all to have fun, to enjoy what they do, but to be safe at any time. And yeah, we have that safety meeting. It's not only about the guns, you know. Sometimes you have a broken board on the boardwalk, people fall, or you have Arizona has critters like Gila monsters, snakes, spiders. So it is the first thing every morning. And as much as I love historical guns, I'm aware of the danger. I used to perform in a gun show years back in Tombstone, and we used to have this little demonstration of a Coke can pointing with the cold against it and using a blank. And that blank, the can flew many feet away and it ripped a hole this size. And that's what the blank can do to you. Imagine you have a live round.
Yeah.
And God beware if something like that happens, like on Rust, or there have been other accidents. And I'm so happy that Henry was lucky to get away with the actor not wanting that,
yes.
You know, because the guy would have been dead as a doornail,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I'm at the beginning, I was nervous, not about using guns. I underestimated the danger of blanks and of guns until I started to learn and understand more. And I was very nervous at the beginning to work with Peter, because Peter is taller than life, expert. He just wants you to make everything perfect. And you cannot do everything perfect on a film set. Something always goes wrong, you know. but now, years later, I totally get it and I understand it and I know why he's so behind it. And I couldn't imagine my productions to be in better hands than with him, honestly.
Yeah. We're going to step away again for just a moment to tell you about one of the places you can order the books of many of our author guests, including tonight's guest. You can find them on the Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. And when we come back, we are going to hear a little sound clip from a song that was written at Manuela's request and performed by Jim Jones. And it's one about Tombstone. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Time to move on. Maybe head west. Go strike it rich, give it your best. Make a new home, send for your wife. In your tombstone dreams, you'll start a new life. Blood, sweat, and toil, life in the mines, digging all day just to see that silver shine. Captain of your soul, master of your fate, make your tombstone dreams come true before it's too late. Tombstone dreams like a beacon in the night, they light the way. Tombstone dreams like a shining star, they lead your heart to the light of a brand new day. When the stars are crossed and you're feeling lost and nothing is the way it seems, that's when you hold on tight to your tombstone dreams.
We're back. I have a good friend, Jim Jones, performing a clip from the song Tombstone Dreams. He wrote it at first for a film of yours, right? Memoir?
Yeah. For the seamstress, that was a feature we produced a year ago. And it is actually a mix between 1882 and 2025. It's a kind of like paranormal Western based on a very tragic relationship that ended deadly in Tombstone. Because I make it the point to either use true characters or true events. I love scripts and books that are written and made up, but I found my personal niche is to give people a voice that were forgotten, like Madame Moustache, like Dr. Goodfellow, because there are so many characters out there that had a major impact, but apparently people like to tell over and over the same story about the same person. So you would never catch me producing another Billy the Kid movie. Never. Because there are a ton of them out there. But there are people like Dr. Goodfellow. I stumble in my research as publisher or as author. I stumble across things. I have a book to translate into German language on my desk, and you know, I almost dropped off the chair because it contains the personal diaries of the wagon track of the Nicholas Erb and his family, Wyatt, Virgil, and Morgan. And it contains the personal diaries of the Johnny Ringo family, how they came out west, how Johnny Ringo's father shot himself accidentally. And I was like, holy cow! You know, it's like you read the personal diaries, that's like true history for me, is my personal niche, because these people deserve to be heard because they got forgotten, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of Dr. Goodfellow, we both, of course, read it in preparation for our time with you. Tell us a little bit about how this book came about, and neither of us were familiar with Dr. Goodfellow at all, and what a story he has.
Yeah, I came to in April 27 will mark my 30th year of visiting Tombstone regularly. So it makes you realize how old you are. But I came across Dr. Goodfellow for the very first time, not with Tombstone, not with the movie, but in the Courthouse Museum, where they had a exhibition with some of his personal instruments and back. And that was when I heard the name for the very first time. And so I did some research and found out that he was the main doctor. They had some kind of part-time doctors, but the main doctor in Tombstone during the fatal shootout at the OK Corral. And so I did more research on him. I found out how he studied earthquakes. He went with Fly, he went to Mexico, and he checked on all the earthquake damages. Some of the universities nowadays still use some of the maps he drew and some of the photos Fly actually took during that immense earthquake in the northern Mexican area. And the surgeries he did under the most primitive condition, crazy. So he was the one who checked on, you know, when Charlie Storms and Luke Stort had their shootout, he checked on the gunfight victims of the OK Corral. He was the first one to remove a enlarged prostate in Tucson in the Southwest. He was the first one to do a appendix surgery and save Tucson's police chief son by doing that. And, you know, he said, like, he was the one, there's one time, at the same time, the president of the United States was shot in the abdomen. He had 12 doctors. All 12 doctors poked around in the wound with their fingers. And 4 or 5 days later, president died of a severe infection. The same time, a miner got shot with the same similar abdomen wound, and Goodfellow operated on him. He stitched the colon together again and rinsed it generously with a bottle of whiskey because he understood the danger of bacteria and infection. So, funny thing, the miner survived, the president didn't. The miner had one doctor who did it right. The president, everybody wanted to do it right and killed him eventually by just not understanding sterile way of surgery. So during my Madame Moustache movie project, I did more research and I realized that there's nothing about him, nothing. No movie, 2 books, one out of print, no movies, no TV shows, a taller than life pioneer when it came to medical treatments. Not without flaws. That's actually what I liked about him. He was not a character without flaws, and he tried to be very neutral, but people started attacking him because it was his medical report that eventually set the herbs and Doc Holliday free, because especially one wound, Billy Clanton wound, he had a shot through the wrist. And we had a special makeup artist that shows that wound in the Dr. Goodfellow movie. He had a shot through the wrist, and they always claimed, we raised our hands, we wanted to surrender. The shot would have been way differently, but the angle absolutely proved that Billy Clinton went for his gun because it was shot like this way. Yeah. And so his report, he just told the truth, but... You know, after that court hearing, he was one of the enemies. He was an herb lover, you know, and so things got quite rotten for him in Tombstone after that court hearing. And I found so many details about the guy's life. I thought, like, Peter, I have to do a movie about this guy. And that was the first person who saw the script. Was not my executive producer, Chris Ferrarelli of Lone Rider Production. Was not my crew, not my cast. It was Peter Schrager, because I shied away 8 full years to touch the topic with a movie production, because Stone is literally the holy grail for many people. I mean, I have seen the movie like 30 plus times, you know. So... I wanted to know, is Peter okay with the history and with the script? That was my first goal, because I knew from the start I have to have Peter on this project.
Yeah,
I want to do it right for the sake of Dr. Goodfellow. And fortunately, he liked it. He agreed to it. And he said, like, you have a heart and a passion for the real Western history, and I admire that in you. I'm on board. So I knew, okay, from now... Second biggest hurdle is, how do I get the budget for that? But to get his okay was my priority number one before I even looked for a single dime of budget.
Mm-hmm.
That is how I respect the work of this, his legacy, not work, his legacy.
I'm looking at time, and instead of playing this other wonderful piece of music, Peter, about you, I think we'd rather have you weigh in a little bit on this movie, and then we're going to go right to what are you all up to, how can we find you, and where can people follow you. So, Peter, give us a little thought about Dr. Goodfellow, and then tell us where we can find you and follow you.
Okay, well, I was thrilled. Oh, I'm always thrilled to work with Manuela. She has the heart and the soul to bring history to life, and I'm always thrilled to be part of it. So that was it. I played Judge Spicer, who was the man in, pounding the gavel, which I enjoyed, and we did everything, and we brought in a lot of the costumes as well. Karen McKechnie, who's my costumer, has worked with Manuela for years, and she's just wonderful doing everything. So it's a thrill, and it's a thrill to go to Arizona to do something. And like I said, next week I start a movie, which is a modern movie, with cops and robbers, and so I'm doing the armory on that. But I just got a call from a director that I've worked with on 12 different movies, and he's got another Western to do at Mezcal in Arizona, and we start May 15th. So he just called me on that. And again, I'm playing another mayor now. I'm not the young stud puppy anymore. So I'm now corrupt mayors all the time. That's what we did a movie a couple of years ago called Shooting Star, where I played the mayor. And we also, at the same time, I was supplying everything and did a movie with Michael White called Outlaw Johnny Black. And I played the corrupt mayor on that as well. And I just had the same costume that I wore from one set to the next set. We were filming it at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
The other one. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm the old guy now. I'm not the old guy. That's okay. I'm working on Western, and that's what we have to do. Another thing that just came up is 30 years ago, we were going to do a movie called Dodge City, which is a prequel to Tombstone. And Disney commissioned it. John Fasano, who was the rewriter Tombstone.
John Fasano, yeah.
And John had the script done by a writer named Rick Hacker. And they put that out. They sent it to Disney. And a month went by, 2 months went by. And I said to John, what's happening here? What's going on? He goes, I don't know. I sent it to Disney. He says, let me call them up. So he called up Disney. And he said, hey, I sent you a script on Dodge City. What's going on? And the man who was in charge of getting projects going said, yes, I have the script right here on my desk. I haven't opened it up because we are going to do another show on Dodge City. We commissioned it, and we don't want to be sued by having anything conflicted. And John said to him, you idiot, that is the script you commissioned.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Peter, we got to move on. I'm sorry. So, Henry, what are you working on next? And where are we going to be following you?
Well, I'm just at this point just working on other articles. I haven't got a major project to announce at this point. We're talking about some things, but in the meantime, I'm always in True West Magazine and at Henry's Western Roundup online. And of course, I also write quite a bit for the INSP blog. So you can find me any of those places, and especially on Facebook, Henry's Western Roundup.
And next month, when you're back with us the first Thursday, we're very excited. We're going to Mark Archuleta, who's been waiting a long time, is going to be on. And we'll be talking about his book, The Real Thrilling Events of Bank Robber Henry Starr. So
terrific.
That's
great.
Next week. Yes. And Manuela, where can we find you?
You find me on all books are available on Amazon, different stores, Goodreads, AK2 Publishing, and manuelaschneider.com. And I am writing another four books in 2026. I'm working on my next feature script and also on a series idea. So I will be quite busy. And no question, I'm going to be working with Peter again. And he said something about the wardrobe, Karen McKechnie-Lee. I tell you what, people often shy away from the cost of having authentic wardrobe and props and guns. It doesn't only look more authentic, it makes the actors feel the role. And it is a very big difference if you have the authentic wardrobe on. Immediately you feel like stepping back in time. It helps tremendously. So that is the crew I'm going to stick with. And it is an honor and amazing to work with them. And I'm looking forward to making the next historical Western story come true.
Thank you all for being with us tonight. Next week, Casey Nash will be with us from DS Publishing along with Scott McRae. And I don't think we have time for a quote tonight, sweetie. Just you have a final comment?
As we always say, it's always a great day out west.
Thank you all for being with us. We'll see you down the trail.
Thank you. Happy trails. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.